Welcome to Women's History Month. I'm Dr. Barbara Williams, a physician and sociologist who has lived in Michiana for the last 44 years. This month, WVPE and Indiana University South Bend's Women's and Gender Studies program is celebrating women's contributions to Michiana by presenting a series of interviews with contemporary women who are making history. Today, I am pleased to be with Doris Ann Nielsen, a resident of Elkhart for the last 53 years and a well-known civic leader in Elkhart who has touched the lives of many people, both young and old. Doris Ann has served her community as a teacher and a contributing member of many boards and task forces, including the board of WVPE. Welcome, Doris Ann Nielsen. First, I understand that you became involved in Elkhart City affairs through activities with your neighborhood group. Please tell us how you moved from distributing newsletters for your neighborhood association to being elected to the Elkhart School Board for many terms.
I'm not sure there's an exact transition there, but I was available. And a school administrator, who will be nameless for obvious reasons, called me and asked if I'd run for school board because nobody from my part of the city was running. I said, I can't do that. My husband has ALS. I have to be at home. And he said, well, think about it. I belong to Kiwanis. So does your husband. So does your son-in-law. We ought to work something out here. So I thought about it. They worked something out. And so every week when I went to school board meetings, two a month at night, one in the mornings, somebody from Kiwanis came and spent the time with my husband. They all said it was very rewarding. He was a very positive person under the circumstances. So there I was. And when I showed up, by the way, and this was kind of a theme in some of the things that I've done, I was the only woman on the school board. A month later, a man moved out of town, and the second person who had the next number of votes came on, and it was also a woman. So we shared that for over 24 years. And it was a very rewarding experience, and I liked being there. And I liked spending other people's money, which is always a good thing, carefully, and representing a community, a part of the community that I knew very well from my teaching experience.
Now, one of the things that you said here was that you were at first the only woman on the school board, and that was fairly early on in the history of the school board developing women there. Can you explain a little bit about what that felt like and how you were treated?
Yes, it had been an appointed school board up to that point. I was not the first woman to have been on the board, but when I arrived, I was the only woman at that point. Others were primarily holdovers from the appointment era, which meant they were businessmen. And the first year, they tell you in the United States Senate, just listen. So I tried being a listener till I couldn't stand it anymore. But I really felt like I was out of place, or that they felt I was out of place, and nervy of me to have run through an election, for heaven's sakes, to get there, not just an appointment. It was a strange feeling until they found out that I did have some experiences having been in the classroom and that I was not without some degree of intelligence. And then the second woman came on the board. By the time I left the board, it was primarily women. And I think that's an interesting transition.
Now, you have stated that your accomplishment of which you are most proud is your teaching experience. And you started out as a substitute teacher, and then you taught history and English in the Elkhart school system for 25 years. Why do you think that teaching has been so rewarding for you?
I don't know whether I think teachers are born or made. There's a picture of me at two reading to my dolls. Of course, I wasn't reading. I was reciting what had been read to me innumerable times by my grandmother who lived with us. My husband said I never stopped teaching whether I was in a classroom or not. And he would say, there you go, teaching again. So I think in my case, it was sort of a natural thing to do. But you're helping to breed the next generation. And the impact you have on those kids is lifelong. And you want it to be a positive one, but you also want them to enjoy being there. And so I taught sophomores always, and I kept them even when I became department chair, and that position usually had seniors, because they come into you as freshmen and they leave as juniors, and that's a huge, huge time in their lives. I wanted to make it pleasant for them to come to class, and one of the things I heard almost regularly is somebody in each class would say, "What are we going to do today?" And I thought that was a wonderful sign of the fact that it was not predictable and it wasn't a repetition of yesterday. But my definition of eternity is what you leave behind. And I think with kids, you leave a lot behind. And hopefully it's positive. We were encouraged to have students look at teaching as a career. And I can't think that I ever mentioned that. But I hope I role modeled how much I enjoyed being there and being with them. I did an evaluation every 9 weeks for the students I had. And one of the things that came up periodically was, you always speak to me if we meet in the hall. And I was shocked to think that every teacher didn't do that. Why would you not speak to the students you knew, or even when you didn't know? And I thought cafeteria duty was very interesting, because can you make these kids not sit on the table and not do other things they shouldn't by greeting it as an opportunity to teach them something? You know, do you want to sit at a table where somebody's just been sitting on it to eat your lunch? And so part of what it was a challenge. I think you have to be part actor, and I was. But you want to leave them wanting more, wanting to come back tomorrow, wanting them to say good things to other people about your teaching in your class. And I think it's a much bigger people. I was asked when I retired from the school board, which was the most work? And I said, oh, teaching, by all odds. There are 7 people on the school board. You make a joint decision. You go in a classroom with 25 kids, and you are in charge of their safety, of their learning, of their attitudes for that period of time. And teaching is, to me, it's a public service, for which I was always kind of surprised when I got a check, because I was enjoying what I was doing so much.
Don't we all wish we could have that as part of our job? And I agree that every day when you touch someone else's life, it is a new day, and going to work is always a new experience. And I've enjoyed that in all of my employment as well. In my discussions with you earlier, I noted a theme that you were presented with opportunities and seized them when they came along. The example that you referred to earlier, when you were asked to consider going on to the school board, at first you were putting up excuses, like you were too busy taking care of your husband. And yet you found a way, and you served for 24 and a half years on the school board. What advice do you have for young people today about how to get involved and to contribute to their communities despite, quote, being too busy with their jobs and their families and their other commitments?
I think the schools are making this easier for kids by requiring in many organizations, including athletics, that you do some kind of community service. And once you get out there and you go to the soup kitchen and you help people and you realize that this is maybe the only meal they're going to have today and you're providing it, or you go down to church community services and you help them bag up food for people to come and take who have no food. And I think you become more aware of your fellow human beings and the fact that you have something that they don't. And maybe your volunteer work is in a preschool class someplace, and you see the differences in children who had one kind of upbringing versus another kind, and that you can make a difference. I think there's always time for the thing that you think is important. And there's a difference between urgent and important we have to think about sometimes in organizations. I believe that you can find time for the things that matter. Sometimes we as mature adults, that's in quotation marks, forget what's important. We do what's right there in front of us. My garage door isn't going up and down, and it's a really big pain. But it's not the most important thing in my life. And the young man across the street came over, lifted my garage door up so that I could take my car out. It's out. Doesn't matter now how long it takes to fix the garage door. I may have preferences, but that went from being vital to not mattering because we solved a problem. It seems to me that we have the obligation, young or old, to make time in our lives for somebody else to be better, because we have so much more, any of us, than if our education to start with, if as a student, to help somebody else who doesn't have what you have. Ever fill out a form and say, I don't know how somebody without a college education fill out this crazy form. And so now we have people who help us do income taxes and help us fill out forms. I think that the challenge is to prioritize the things you do. And I think, as I say, the school is helping that to happen by taking basketball teams or football teams someplace to help the park department or some other kind of thing. And when kids find out that this is out there, I think it's an awareness. And, of course, it helps if you're raised in a family, as I was, where community service is high on your priorities. And I married somebody for whom it was a high priority. I didn't have any choice. He left me with the neighborhood to run. And it wasn't a matter of, do I choose to do this? No, I do it. And when we formed mixed bag of neighborhoods, river neighborhoods, it was easy for me to rise to the top because everybody else was willing to say, I haven't got time. And so when I managed to be president of the Elkhart Association of River Neighborhoods and we redid part of Vestula Street downtown, I got the glory. Other people did the work.
I think that's very important that people learn early the rewards of giving to others. And once you have experienced those rewards, there's nothing better than to give.
I have to tell
be
you,
rewarded.
Excuse me. One of the boys who worked for me, the first time I paid him, and he said, you told me it was like working for my grandparents and they don't pay me. I said, no, but this is a pay job. I'm not your grandmother. And so, and he was one of the successful kids because he didn't know he was going to get paid and took the job anyway.
But sometimes we do things and don't get paid. We just get paid with a good feeling that we've done something to help others.
He would have.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your interview, and I've so much enjoyed talking with you today.
And I've enjoyed this. Thank you.